or call to action when words are not enough. A series that's based on the book of James, a practical book that teaches us about faith and the importance of being a believer who is active in living out their faith for God, not being passive, letting the world pass you by, not standing for truth and just living like everyone else, but rather God calls us to be people of action, to live a life that stands for truth, that has been a witness. And it's basically putting God's word into action as we read it and as we hear it. And the truth is that living for Christ and being active in our faith is not always easy. And it can be easier just to go through the motions of the Christian faith, to act like a Christian, to raise your hands in worship, say the right things that people would expect of you, and to hear a sermon and nod along and kind of be convicted. But when you leave, you kind of forget about what you've heard, and that you just decide to go on your merry way with life as it is. And that's not the Christian life that God has called you to, just to go through emotions. God has called you to a life of joy, to a life of hope, to a life that is to the full, as John 10 verse 10 tells us. He's called us to one that makes a difference, one that stands strong against the worldly values. It's one of service as we seek to serve him and others, one of loving your neighbour as you would love yourself, one of perseverance, one of trust, even when everything around you seems to say, don't trust God because nothing's happening or all this is going wrong. God says, trust in me. One, a life where we include Jesus Christ in every decision. One where we fight temptation hand in hand with Christ. One where we follow and we submit to God whatever the cost. See, faith can't just be about a head knowledge. It has to be a heart experience that causes me and you to act, to get moving, to get motivated, to live a life of truth, and one that would make Jesus' name known. A life with Jesus should never become boring or ordinary. Our faith in him should never become passive as a result of our circumstances. Words aren't enough. We need to understand what God requires of us, and then we need to respond in action. So if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to James chapter 2? We're in the second half of James chapter 2 this morning. So we'll be finishing the chapter. And we will be reading from verse 14 through to verse 26. 14 to 26. And it says these words. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have needs. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was God's friend, called God's friend. You see, that person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even the Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. May God bless his word to our hearts as we continue to dig in to these scriptures to see what it really means for us to live a life of action, not a life of passiveness. So verse 14, the first verse of this passage says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him?" Now let me ask you a question. Is it enough just to have faith in Jesus? Or does this need to be followed by action in order for us to become the people God wants us to be? This is the question that James poses in the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning. It's a question that was not just relevant for the believers of the day, but it's also an important question for us to ask ourselves in this time. And it's actually a question for every believer of every generation, past, present, and future. Now this statement in verse 14 that James made has often caused a little bit of confusion in churches and has been debated by scholars. It seems to suggest from that, at a quick glance, that James is trying to say that faith in God can only be established when a believer accepts Jesus' offer of salvation and also through his good works. But in the rest of Scripture, particularly in the Apostle Paul's writings, he tells us that faith only comes by hearing and accepting Jesus, not our works. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says it like this: "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, so that no one may boast." And Paul says in Romans 10 verse 7, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Christian teaching is the only religion that has nothing to do with what we do, works, but has everything to do with faith, believing in Jesus, believing in what he has done. Let's remind ourselves how Hebrews defines what our faith should be like. Hebrews 11 verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Understanding this then, does it therefore mean that James is speaking a contradictory message to Paul and the rest of what Paul and the rest of the New Testament is saying? Or could it be that James is actually saying the same thing as Paul, just in a different way? James, I believe, is not contradicting Paul's teaching, but rather he's emphasizing that indeed it's only by faith in Jesus that can save us. That can save us, not by our works, but as a result of our faith in what Jesus has done. But this in turn should cultivate a desire in us to do deeds that produce fruit that builds God's kingdom. Matthew 3 verse 8 says, "Prove by the way you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God." So James, in this passage, as we've learned right from the start, but just to give you a recap, James is writing this letter to Jewish believers that have been dispersed across the empire because of the Romans' kind of persecution. And they're in a challenge to try and live their faith for God in the places that they are. And they're fighting against the culture, and they're fighting against the temptations that arise within their culture. And it's no different for us now in the days in which we live, that we're fighting against the culture in which we're living in, those temptations to let things go by and not worry about them because everyone else is doing it or acting like everybody else. But actually to stand strong is and to be active in our faith is a massive challenge, but it's something that is really important that we need to do. So James was challenging the Jewish believers in the times who themselves had responded to the life-giving message of salvation by believing by faith and not by works. But then they went too far. And they reasoned in their thinking that their works didn't matter anymore, and it didn't matter in their Christian life at all. It's why in verse 14 James says, "Can such faith save them?" when they just all they're thinking about is just that side of things. James clearly wanted to point out to the Jewish audience and to us that though our works have nothing to do with receiving salvation, it has everything to do with having an active faith afterwards. See, good works are the evidence of our faith, not the source of it. Good works are the evidence of our faith, not the source of it. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. James, then, in order to help the readers at the time, to kind of help us as well, goes on to give an illustration of how wrong it is to have faith but to have no deeds following. Verse 15 to 17 says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, by faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. Faith that doesn't manifest itself in being a witness, seeking to see lasting change in our behaviour and actions, and the actions that kind of help to point people to Christ, if we don't do those things, then it's not really true faith at all. It's a head knowledge of the things that we think we should do, but we've not allowed it to become a heart experience and respond and acted from what we've learned in God's word. Think about this with my kids. They are often hungry. In my household, they seem to be getting hungrier and hungrier, especially when they're going to all these different clubs and stuff. If Samuel or Noah or Hannah ever came up to me and said, Daddy, I'm hungry, can you give me a snack? And I said to them, oh yeah, I can see you're hungry. That's really sad. I know you're hungry. And then just not bother and say, go off, it doesn't matter. You go off. I'm not helping them, am I? I'm not helping them at all. You know, they will remain hungry. And this is the same way as the scripture's saying here, that if we know the good that we should do and we don't do it, we're not really practicing active faith. Acknowledging that people are in need, seeing the issues are at hand is great, because sometimes we can go through life oblivious and we don't even realise that there are situations going on, and we need to get our heads into gear. But if we're just going to see the situations that we see going on around us, the hardships and all that, and we go, oh, that's really bad, oh yeah, that we really need to see change in that, and then we know that we can do something to respond and don't. That's an issue, because we're not living active faith. We're faith and deeds, they kind of go hand in hand together. It's a response of the change that we have received. We need to respond. See a need, meet that need. You see a need when you go around in your life. If you can meet it, meet that need. See, if we want to have an active faith, anything less than action cannot really be classed as true faith. Loving your neighbour, meeting their need, pleases God's heart. It's as if you're doing it directly for him. There's some verses that are found in Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40 that Jesus says, and he puts it like this. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see hungry, and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When do you see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. When we respond to a need, when we see it, when we feel it, we're doing it and we're blessing God and we're pleasing his heart when we use our faith to do good deeds, to build his kingdom, to point people to Christ. And that was Matthew 25, 35 to 40. Would you agree with me that there are plenty of issues going on around us right now? Homelessness, drug addicts, heating crisis, other different things that are going on in this world right now. Now, we may acknowledge that something needs to be done to help those in need, But without the practical outworking of this, it doesn't really mean anything. It's kind of a little bit like loose and just empty words, isn't it? What can you do today? What can I do today to change that? To put my faith into action? Because God calls me to do that. God has people, I'm sure we know of people on our journey of faith who've helped us in our time. Maybe some of you have a person that was really instrumental in you coming to faith. And they did something for you and they met a need that nobody else did. And that is what turned you and on a journey to finding Christ. That's what it's about. There are people out there that do good works and they do it and they're nice people. But there is a reason why good works is important for us to do, because we are wanting to make Jesus known. Wanting to make Jesus known. Could you buy a homeless person lunch? Could you offer to heat your home for those in your community who are struggling to pay their bills for an evening? Could you fill in the blank? What could you do? Part of our vision of this church is to be a church without walls. That's our main kind of statement. But one of the missional parts of it is this: reach. To be a church who reaches out into the community, breaking down barriers, meeting people's needs, and revealing the reality of Jesus. And you know what? This won't happen if we don't put our faith into action. If we don't do good works, good deeds for those in our community. As verse 17 of the reading we've said this morning, faith without deeds is dead. It's not really anything. It's just a knowledge, it's a good knowledge to have. But our faith is active. Our faith should be active, not passive. We don't just come to church because it's the right thing to do, or it's the religious thing to do, or at least I hope not. We do it because we want to actually make an impact. We do this, we meet together to sharpen each other up so that when we go out there into the world, we can do something with our faith. We can point people to Jesus. Verse 18 to 19. But some of you will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe and shudder. James, again, is challenging us that you can't have a living faith unless you actually respond to God's instruction. When put side by side, a faith spurred on by action is much more true than a faith that is based entirely on knowledge. Good works done for God produce fruit that complete our faith. When you do something for God during the week as a result of what He's done for you, it will produce a fruit in you. And it will be a fruit that will last. And it will be a fruit that brings reward for you, whether it be right here and right now, or whether it be when we go ultimately to be with Jesus. Verse 24 of our reading says it like this: you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. It's working hand in hand. Because you have that faith in Jesus, because of what he's done for you, you're compelled with love and with grace and with compassion to want to do that for others. And there's an interesting part of the phrase from verse 19 when it talks about that the demons know, even the demons believe that there is one God. They have a knowledge of who God is, but they don't have an experience of it. It's the experience, the deeds, the following God's command that separate those who have an active living faith with those who live with a passive existence. Knowledge is not enough.
We need more than just knowledge. We need to be active
in our faith. To bring weight to James's argument about the importance of faith and deeds working in harmony together, he draws upon some examples for his Jewish believers of people of faith from the Old Testament. He talks about Abraham and then he talks about Rahab. Verse 20 to 25 says these words, "You foolish people, person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" He's kind of really hammering home the point here, that actually faith needs to have something additional attached. It needs good works. "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction?" Abraham heard from God that he needed to sacrifice Isaac. Can't even imagine for a moment what that would feel like. I don't want to imagine what that would feel like. But Abraham didn't just understand what God said. He chose to act upon it. He took Isaac to the mountain and placed him on the altar. His very action, even though it would have been the hardest thing in the world to do, it made his faith complete because he obeyed what God told him to do. As a result, he became God's friend. Doing good, doing things for God and doing good works and kind of, you know, reaching out to the community with the love of God practically, verbally, pleases God's heart and brings us closer to him. And there's nothing greater than being able to walk in step with your Saviour. James also used Rahab, a Gentile example, that her hiding of the spies in spite of her own countrymen hunting them and then wanting to serve Israel's God is an example of her faith in action. Going against her countrymen, going against perhaps the God she supported previously or worshipped previously, saw the God of Israel, the God of the universe, was actually the one true God. And she put her faith, her newfound faith, into action. I wonder this morning, what are you doing with your faith? What are you doing with your faith? Are you doing nothing? Are you doing something? Are you doing a lot? What are you doing with your faith? Is it empty claims, or is your faith causing you to do good works so that you might have an active faith that's getting you closer to God and building his kingdom? Because if we don't act upon what God teaches us, tells us, requires of us, our faith can never truly be complete. Verse 26. "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Faith and deeds work together. It's just as important as the body and the spirit being in unison. They can't be without each other. They don't work independently of each other. Deeds and the resulting fruit of the act, working of the faith that you and I have in God. If and when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, you accept his offer of salvation, faith has the opportunity to be activated. But if it just remains just a nice thought with no action, you miss out on so much. Deeds don't play a part in salvation, but they do play a part in the result of what your faith in God has done. How should we respond then to James's message? The message God wants to give us this morning is simple and active, and life-giving faith is only achievable by responding in deeds. Take a moment and answer this question. What good works have I done recently? Not because it's how you become saved, because you don't, it's by faith alone, we've already established that. Not because you want a pat on the back to tell you how well you've done, but because when we understand God's love for us, it compels us to want to love others. It compels us to build his kingdom. We want to do good works because it allows people to find Christ, or we point to Christ. And surely that's all that really matters. Surely that is all it really matters. What good works have you done recently? If we proclaim to be true believers in Jesus, to do anything else but obey God and do good works, it's kind of hypocritical to what we say we believe. To ignore the needs we see before us shows a lack of compassion. To think following God's instruction and doing good work, it doesn't matter, it's just plain ignorance. We're called to action, to follow God's command and to do good deeds that will produce fruit in us and prove us to be his disciples. I love the words that Jesus says in John 15 verse 8. But it's a big challenge. It says, By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. We prove to be his disciples by the fruit that we produce. The fruit that we produce comes from abiding in him. That's what John 15 talks about. Being in him, having faith in him and him alone, obeying his commands. What can you do today? What can you do tomorrow to put your faith into action? Maybe it's as simple as sharing your faith, doing the shopping for an elderly neighbour, taking a homeless person out for a meal, cutting someone's grass, being a listening ear. The opportunities are plentiful, but the truth is the workers are few. That's what scripture tells us. The harvest is ripe, unto the fields are ripe unto harvest, Jesus says, but the workers are few. But you and I are workers. If we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if we believe in him, we're workers. Don't matter what age you are, you don't have your age at retirement in God's kingdom. Every single day is an opportunity for us to share the good news of Jesus. For those who love Jesus, time can no longer be an excuse for us. Oh, I haven't got enough time to do that. Lack of finance can't be an excuse. Fear of what people are going to say can't be the deciding factor. We're called to be active in our faith. We're called to outwork that faith in good works and in deeds. To conclusion, with this I finish. Faith and deeds must work together in unison. It's not one or the other. They go together like body and spirit, or in my case, ham and cheese. We're saved by our faith in Jesus, not by our works. So no one can boast. It's all because of God's grace and love that he's freely and lavishly poured out on us. But real faith doesn't stop with appreciation for what God and Christ has done for you, or just a new knowledge of how you should live and treat others. But our newfound life compels us into a response. It's not enough just to know the right thing, we have to do it. You and I are called to action. The question is, will we respond? Let's pray together, shall we?